Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I apparently can't say four. I don't know what that was I just said there.
We're on the floor, James.
Was it floor?
It's seven, and we're on the floor.
It's 7:04 out there. Dang it. Darn it. Oh, my perfect announcing career ruined. That wonderful laugh over there is Melissa Kay. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning.
Got a lot of fun stuff lined up this morning. We are going to have some fun with our National Day of Calendar in just a little bit. It is a Tuesday, so Melissa and I at some point going to get into some fun random facts. Into some of those. They have to be random.
They and cannot weird.
Be. Yes,
Can they
do
weird
have
too?
To be weird.
Okay,
they are definitely have to be weird. If your schedule, we're going to help people with their scheduling. We're going to do that early on, too, here.
That's
we've got
an
a interesting
thing
one.
To do.
I like that. Mm-hmm. How much time do we, what happens to us when we are wasting time in traffic?
In traffic.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. I want to talk a little bit about the Southwick County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week this week. We'll get into that. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock hour, then I write stories, good stories of the day and all kinds of other fun stuff. How's your morning going? How did it go for you coming in today?
It was good. Well, I mean, aside of the fact that my car didn't start this morning.
Oh, yeah. Not good.
Cold temperatures. Yeah. Fortunately, I did not get out the door as early as I thought I would. Mm-hmm. So, and my boyfriend drives my car when I'm coming to Rapids, so he fortunately went out there and tried to start it before I left, and so then I got going later because I gave him a ride to work.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Did it affect? I don't know. For me, I can handle a couple of like one, two things or something like that, but if it really throws my morning off, I feel like it almost throws off my whole day.
No, it wasn't too bad because it just put me behind about 15 minutes, which did not negatively impact my morning too terribly.
Really been enjoying the news. Noticed that it is a little bit more of a supersize edition.
Yes.
It's a little more condensed.
It's a little condensed and consolidated. So we're across the network working toward trying to streamline and cohesivize, if that's a word.
I like it. Oh, it is now.
All right.
It is now.
Made it up. But yes, we're trying to make them all very similar as far as length and how we intro and outro. That's still in the works. Like this is a constantly evolving system because we are constantly adding new stations.
So
we're working on that. The news will be the 2 minutes in the morning, roughly, and then still the 1 minute newscasts in the afternoon.
I used to joke with the old Rafters coach the first couple seasons of the Rafters. It was pretty flux with players. You'd have them coming in and out quite often. And we would joke about the pamphlets that they would make for the players, the player lineups and stuff that they hand out to every game and all that. Like, I gotta do them in pencil because the guys' names are changing all the time and everything. With our civic media umbrella, that's just getting bigger and bigger all the time. It's been a lot of fun, but it's really cool, and I think people have noticed that, and across the board, like across our stations, have noticed that. And there's a nice thing about that. I think that it's our stations are individual enough. They have their own character, own personality enough. I like that part of it. I like that we're not all doing the same thing. That starts to get a little closer to propaganda radio, like when you do that, no matter what your message is.
Right.
The fact that there is still so much personality and individuality in these stations and on-air personalities, along with that kind of consistency. Especially when it comes to news, which we all know is so vital right now and going forward, really. I don't see that changing anytime soon. I like that. I think that's pretty cool. I also appreciate the work that you do on those. Do want to let people out there know, Melissa is always looking for local stories, local things going on. So when those happen, please feel free to message her.
Yeah. Email me at melissa.kaye, that's K-A-Y-E, at civicmedia.us. I'm very happy to put any local happenings if you've got a nonprofit event coming up or a charity event. We love putting those on the WIRI station as well in our Here's What's Happening section.
Yes, it's one of our things we really enjoy doing. I would love to be able to put something together where we, because we had Over the Back Fence every day.
Mm-hmm.
We had one of the things that we enjoyed about that show, and know the audience did, was our kind of community calendar event, you know, our news and notes, if you will. Having a something like that in one of our, in our morning show here, maybe, or something like that going forward, is one of the things that I'd like to do. I may shorten the good stories of the day and wrap up our show with something like that. Those kind of things. We'll see how that works.
We should talk about that off
Absolutely.
Air, James. I got some ideas percolating now.
I like that.
All right.
Good. Fantastic. we're going to have some fun with those things. It's been really great. We've really enjoyed, especially we felt something here at the station for many years, and I think even yourself, Melissa, who's been here about a year or so, could tell that this is a different station. This is a different community. But we've seen people love these shows, like our original content and everything. Mm-hmm. I like that the people are appreciating the morning show. I'd like to do a little, you know, some just tinkering a little bit here and there with the show, just to make it a little stronger going forward.
It's a good idea.
Especially now that we know we have the backing that we do. Man, you guys are awesome out there.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. Best listeners in radio. James says it all the time.
Can't thank you enough.
He's not wrong.
No. It's one of those fun things every once in a while, I'm right. Me and a broken clock. Twice a day.
Now we just got to get him to learn his new email address. So if you have ideas for the morning show, james.maloff@civicmedia.us.
Oh, that's not fair. So I wrote it down on my phone just so I wouldn't forget. And you still got it better than I did. I still look at, wait a minute, is it James Mail? Oh, yeah, it is.
See, it's the same format as mine, so it's very easy to remember.
It is a little easier.
You know how long it took me to get a working email address at this place.
Well, see, now that's why you will never forget your email.
Exactly. No, it's mine. Now I'm keeping it.
Wanted to touch on our schedule really quick here at the station. Of course, you got Mel and I this morning. Tomorrow, getting Seth. We'll fit Seth into the room, and we'll have Seth and Melissa hanging out. We'll have Seth on Thursday. And then on Friday, Terry Johns will be sitting in with us. It should be a fun week on the morning show here.
Yeah.
Of course, we'll have Pet of the Week on Thursday. On Wednesday, we have our Word of the Day from, of course, our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Friday, Star of the Day from our friends from Culver's.
Oh, yeah.
It's been fun. We're booking up here. Like, Monday and Tuesday are kind of the only day. We have the kitchens open on Monday. Really, today's the only day that we don't really have a kind of sponsored
show.
That's interesting.
Mini show.
Speaking of sponsors, the Kitchens Open could always use a sponsor.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So just throw that out there. I want to touch on a morning magazine for the week. We kick off today when Mel and I are done hanging out at 10:04. We're going to talk to Dan Minter from Assumption Public Schools, or Assumption Catholic Schools. Dan, of course, the president over there. Mm-hmm. Always good to talk to anybody in our high schools and like catching up with our friends over at Assumption.
Is he the principal?
Yeah, he is the president over there. So I'll be honest, I'm not 100% if that's the same thing or not. That's a good first question, though.
Yeah.
That's a good first question for Dan there. Dan's a good guy, too. We'll have very fun. We'll have a lot of fun with her. And Larry Dodenbaugh, executive director at Love, Inc., is going to be joining us.
Oh.
Love, Inc. has a special concert coming up right on the 17th of next month. We're going to talk a little bit about that and what Love, Inc. is.
Excellent.
On our sports schedule for tonight, at 6:05 right here at the WFHR radio station, you have a Greg Gard show. Wisconsin Badgers head basketball coach joins our airwaves once a week. And a little bit after that, you'll have Wisconsin hockey show. That should be good.
On
WIRI, Randy and Don are going to be running the Coosa boys basketball as they host Westfield. We continue to cover high school sports around here. Looking forward to that. Going to be a good one. Wednesday, Wisconsin men's basketball versus Ohio State right here at WFHR. Tip-off will be at about 6:10. And at 7 o'clock, Marquette men's basketball versus Villanova. You can do what I usually do on those days and just try to flip between the two. It can be confusing, though, because if you just get the scores, you're just getting scores.
Right.
Wait a minute. Was Wisconsin up or was Marquette up? Our week of Morning Magazine is going to be a fun one. Tomorrow on the show, we spend the entire hour with the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Believe Sheriff Sean Becker will be in with us. Always good to catch up with Sean. That, of course, means that Taylor and the gang from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media will be in. Looking forward to that. Thursday, we'll catch up with Mid-State Technical College. Leah Eckstein going to be with us. And then in part two, Matt Lippert, ag agent with UW Extension. Always learn something when I talk with Matt. On Friday, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug.
Good.
Always an interesting conversation with Scott. Looking forward to that. And we wrap up the week talking to Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Silver Foxes. We'll have Chris and Tronda and Jerry in with us. Looking forward to that.
Awesome.
That's going to be such a fun week. Great list of guests. We're really, really looking forward to this. Special shout out to Pam Hilke and the fantastic scheduling that she does week in and week out.
Thank you, Pam. And I was so busy telling you about my weekend yesterday that I forgot. I totally forgot to tell you I went to the show on Friday night
at
WRCT. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? They had sold out shows for both nights. They did an awesome job.
I heard such great things. This studio, these studio theater productions are, it's a revenue source for a nonprofit. Which is vital and incredibly important and very cool, really. But the cool part is what I wanted to touch on, because both of their the two studio shows, because there's been two so far, correct, I believe?
Yes. Maybe three, because they did Constellations, too.
I was only thinking since they kind of relabeled it, but you're right. Constellations should be mentioned.
That was kind of the first one.
Yeah, it got the ball rolling. It was very successful, did really good, and great, very well done, very good production. Between that, your show, this one, we've had nothing but success with these. Almost a streak of sold out shows. Like, just it's been very successful. And I say that not just by the turnout, because again, nonprofit needs that cash and all. I'm talking about the product that has been put on that stage. Very, very solid, top notch work. Credit to everybody that has done that so far, going from the Constellations cast to yourself to Mo and Mystique and that whole cast. It's a really nice job by everybody.
They did a great job. It was a lot of fun.
It's a lot to be proud of with that, and a lot going forward with it.
And just more opportunity to see more live theater.
It's, you know, Tim and I go back, and we are good friends. And Tim, of course, Tim Young, executive director over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Tim wants to be able to take advantage of that, wants to give the main stage its due, but to be able to give some of these edgier shows, fringier shows, that maybe not everybody knows, or, you know, that
ones
kind of
that are not going to appeal to a broad audience, perhaps.
It's part of the reason why it's any day now. I'm just wearing him down to be able to do my Simpsons one-man show. James does every voice of The Simpsons, the complete 33-year history of The Simpsons, where I do every single character horribly. Oh, just horrible, Melissa. But I'm very bad at impressions.
It has to come with the Marge wig, though, right?
Homa! Why didn't you sound like Archie? Or Edith from Archie Bunker. I made Mars sound like Edith from Archie Bunker. Archie! It's like, no, that doesn't work.
Well,
that,
you know, as long as you got the wig on, they're going to know who you are.
I could do the wig. I could do that part. I think I saw. But that, in 2027, I believe that's when that we'll be doing. We'll be doing that studio theater production.
You got plenty of time to work on that. But the CWAC production is opening this weekend at the Century Theater. I'm excited to be going to see that as well. It's Mike Edgren's show.
Yeah, we are so happy about this. So this past Friday, we recorded Brad Jansen, and then on Friday, Wednesday that was, and then on Friday, we had Amber and Wendy join us from that wonderful production that you're talking about there in 1974.
Yes.
Of course, you can hear about that, how that went, and you know the conversation and everything on this Sunday's Director's Cut. And be sure to check that out after Seth Bass's music. From 6 to 9, you've really got a great block of entertainment right there for you. Be sure to check that out. But yeah, they were so excited about this. And one of the things that I wanted to know was the difference of doing a show like this and doing a show where the playwright is right there. You know, it's so rare. Neither of us have really experienced something like that. I haven't done an original show before, I don't believe. You have.
Actually, my My very first show was an original show I was in when I was 17, turning 18.
That's really cool, Mel. That's very cool, actually. I haven't got to do that on that kind of level. I've done it on the movie level. I've done movies where the script writer and the director were the
right
same.
Right there.
But I haven't done a play like that, and I just wanted to know how they felt about it. Really good answers from them. Really interesting what to hear. I'm not going to tell you. I want you to listen to Director's Cut.
Absolutely.
We do want to tell you, though, that that production, as Melissa said, February 3rd through the 5th, February 10th through the 11th, 7 o'clock showtimes, I do believe on the 11th. It is a matinee. You can find out more about that by going to CWACT.org, CWACT.org, the Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater website. Great website. Great way to find out more and to support local theater.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll come back into our National Day of Calendar here on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James here with you, and it's time to get into our National Day of Calendar as we dive right into this January 31st, 2023. What happened to January?
It's the last day.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Everything up to my birthday, it just was kind of a blur.
Time is a flat circle. It is National Gorilla Suit Day. National Gorilla Suit Day.
Like dressing up like a gorilla?
Let's see here, because I think that's an option. No matter what this says, I think that dressing like a gorilla is an option today.
But it's a gorilla dressed in a man suit.
Mad Magazine artist Don Martin created the idea of National Gorilla Suit Day back in 1963 for a comic strip in which a character mocks the holiday and is then assaulted by gorillas and people in gorilla suits. Since that time, the holiday has been semi-celebrated every year by fans of Mad Magazine and Don Martin by dressing up in a gorilla suit.
Okay.
So you're pretty correct there, Melissa. Pretty
literally
close.
That.
Yeah. God, Mad Magazine. Boy, do I remember that. That and comic books were like two of those things that you hung on to and you hid because you didn't know if you'd get in trouble for reading them and stuff. And hiding them in books and those kind of things.
Okay.
I don't even, I imagine if you're under the age of 25 or 30 even maybe, you may not even know what I'm talking about. Like, I'm not sure. I don't even know if they, I gotta think they still make Mad Magazine, but I'm not sure. I don't know if they stopped making that a long time ago or not. Yeah, I'm not
sure. Comic books, yes, for sure.
Definitely comic books.
Although graphic novels have become more, I think, prominent than comic books, but. I still have my Calvin and Hobbes comic books.
I get in trouble for it, but I've always been more of a fan of graphic novels. But there's plenty, and that's one of them, plenty of comic strips I love. Calvin and Hobbes, Bloom County, Far Side. Far Side's a must. You ever met somebody that didn't like the Far Side? Like, I don't know if that exists. Like, at least that one or two of the strips, you know?
Yeah, you got to like something about it.
Inspire Your Heart with Art Day.
Ooh.
That's a good one. It sounds straightforward enough. Go to a gallery, a theater, a cinema, or a music venue and soak up the art. Remember the instruction through our, though, inspire your heart, care is needed. Inspire your heart, care is needed. That's a weird sentence. I'm sorry.
It is a weird sentence.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you. Have you ever noticed how edgy the arts have been getting lately? It's not about truth and beauty anymore. Arts wants to shock you. That's their new calling, I suppose. And while it might thrill and enrage you sometimes, it's not necessarily good for your heart. So the key to getting the most out of this day is being selective about your art and choosing something that will inspire your heart rather than expire it. Art is art, though. Even if it is a little, touchy or whatever, I would suppose that,
Well, yeah, there's a lot of different forms of art. So I guess this is just in one that's encouraging you that makes your heart happy as opposed to makes you think about, because art can make you think about tragic things, too.
I'm a very big fan of, Banksy and a lot of those artists, but that art is, taxing. That definitely
dark.
Like it's supposed to be.
Right.
Not all art is supposed to be just ingested and funneled through that in one ear out the other kind of or something.
So listen to Beethoven and draw flowers today.
Yeah, it's a good one. National Backwards Day. Backward Day. National Backward Day. The day where the world gets turned upside down and inside becomes out and madness becomes sanity and day becomes night. At least in concept.
Opposite day? What's the difference?
Opposite day was like the other day, right? It was like just a couple of days, like last week or something like that. So they're essentially, this was them, like, it's January. I got nothing. What do you, we got to fill
running
this
out.
Out
of ideas.
Here, really. I don't know.
Backwards is different than opposite, yeah?
Right,
yeah.
Right, let's go
with it.
Print it. It's Appreciate Your Social Security Check Day.
That's funny.
One of my favorite things is hearing somebody say, oh, I hate these handouts that people get. I hate socialism. I hate blah. Give me my social security check. Where is it? Okay, thank you. I hate these handouts. you earn your social security.
Yeah. No, you worked for it your whole life.
One of the funnier things that I've seen happen in my life is my father struggling to accept that he was collecting Social Security, that he deserved Social Security, and that he was an old enough person to collect Social Security.
Well, those are kind of three big hurdles.
It felt weird for him. He's worked his whole life. Mm-hmm. Getting this check, he's like, I didn't earn this. Like, yeah, you did. You put money into that. Every check you've ever made, mm-hmm. no matter what job you've ever mm-hmm. done, you've been putting into that. You earn that. That's yours. You deserve it. And so is that a case for everybody out there collecting Social
That's
Security.
That's why it should be mandatory spending. That's yeah. why it should not be even considered to be put it up every year to have it discretionary.
Only a person who comes from a... I want to make sure to get this clear. Only a person who comes from a world of privilege would ever think that Social Security should be something we're even debating, yeah. we're even talking about or anything. The same type of people that think that maybe we should go back to the English way of things and be a dictatorship and let them choose our presidents and things like that.
Yeah.
People like that. I can't imagine anybody would ever elect somebody like that in the office.
Let's raise the retirement age. That's ridiculous.
Insane.
It's absolutely insane.
The definition of insanity. Naru, let's see here. Hell freezes over day. Perfect. It is cold. As most of the northern hemisphere of the planet tends to experience a very cold snap of winter weather during this time of year. Right in the middle of the winter months, it can often feel so cold that it seems even hell might be freezing over. I saw the devil hitchhiking the other day. So he's done. He's like, it froze over. I have no job anymore. I'm looking. Does
just
anybody
trying
know?
To get to Florida?
Just trying to get to Florida. Trying to, I don't know how you celebrate this day. I don't know. Stay warm, everybody.
Yeah, put on comfy socks and cuddle up in a blanket.
Yeah, that's a good one. It is like I'm not minding the cold more and more. I think as I get older and as winter and probably a little bit of Terry John's wearing me down a little bit with it, but I can't get past the cold. Like, I can handle everything else, but it's one thing to have 10 degrees, 5 degree weather. This is not right.
Yeah.
This
when it gets below zero, it's pretty unbearable.
That ain't right. Let's see. It is Scotch Tape Day.
Hey.
I like that. That's a good one.
It's very handy.
Yes, Scotch tape, very mm-hmm. handy, very good stuff. Let's see here real quick. I wouldn't mind seeing if they have the history of this.
They probably do. It's been around a while.
Scotch brand tape started out with masking tape, which was invented by Richard Drew in 1925. This began the Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing 3M Company's start of manufacturing tape. The tape was specifically used for painters that came off easily without removing the paint in the meantime. But the Scotch tape that most people are referring to when they use the name is the transparent tape.
Yes.
That was not invented until 5 years later in 1930. This was the first waterproof adhesive tape that has the added feature of being invisible, and its invention came after the development of cellophane by a Swiss inventor in 1912.
Interesting.
When this clear tape was introduced during the Great Depression, it was especially important for helping people to repair various household items that were wearing out or broken, but there was no money to buy a new one. During this time, banks would even use Scotch tape to repair torn paper currency so that it could continue to be used.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
I remember seeing paper or taped money.
Yeah, yeah. I have taped money before.
Yep, same.
Oh, my God, I've taped money before. Mm-hmm. Thank God they've taken it every single time. There's nothing like you got $5 to your name, and it's taped together. And you know, they've
accepted. You're just hoping.
You're just worried, though. You're worried. There's that right. little bit of worry that, they're not going to accept it or uh-huh. something. Man, I've been there before. Oh, this is funny. National Plan Your Vacation Day.
Hey.
That's actually
it's
pretty
time.
Good. It is, and it's very fitting for, I don't know, me.
Yeah.
I had plans to take a vacation in February. We have to push that back for various reasons that are, you know, not really at the fault of anybody or anything like that.
Yeah, stuff happens.
Yes. But we are planning in March or April.
Good.
And I am doing this.
Good.
Part of, you know, I say something on the air, I only say what I can back up on the air. If I'm going to say something like this on the air, that means that I am held accountable to it. So I have to do it.
I mean, we have been talking about you taking a vacation for almost a year now, yeah, so it's time.
It is time. I should probably do that at least once in my life, considering I never have. So I should probably try it at least once,
yes,
just to see what all these people are talking about.
Right.
Well, everybody else, this is a good day to plan ahead, mm-hmm, especially this is the like if you are making plans for the spring or summer.
Yeah, now's the time to buy the tickets.
Yes, yes. Get those tickets. You can get them cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you're going to feel better, even if you're not a planner. I promise you're going to feel better when you have a bit of an outline, a bit of a plan going into these
things. Yeah, and something to look forward to.
And travel is great. God, traveling's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
If you especially haven't done it in a while. Get out a little bit.
Don't skip the Brussels sprouts.
Oh, did I? Oh,
yeah.
I did. Yeah, sorry about that. Good catch. Eat your Brussels sprouts day. Of course I would skip that.
Of course you would. But you don't realize how good they are. When's the last time you ate a Brussels sprout, James?
I had to have been 15, 16 years old,
okay,
probably.
Well, I happen to know somebody who makes them amazingly, and you should try them because they're delicious. My four former tiny roomies, this is their favorite vegetable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can I put cheese on it?
Yeah.
And it's still okay?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Then I'm game. Then I'm all right with it. Because I noticed, what is it that my cousin Lisa used to make? It was a green.
Like cheesy broccoli?
Broccoli, yes. Cheesy broccoli, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's crunchy, the broccoli's crunchy. And the cheese, I'll eat that all day. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Well, all you do is you have, you know, cut Brussels sprouts in half, toss them in a little bit of oil, lots of seasonings, bake them in the oven, and they turn out crispy. But still crunchy in the middle. They're so good.
I can use my olive oil, my Italian oil. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I'm all on this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll try this. Yeah,
you
definitely
could cover them in Parmesan cheese or whatever kind of cheese you want.
Does this count for the vegetables I didn't eat when I was a kid that my mother is still making me feel guilty about? Is it?
I don't know. I don't know if I can give you that pass,
no,
James.
No. Yeah,
I mean, that's a tough one.
Had to try.
Yeah, well, maybe you can bake that fly with your mom. If you brought some home. Mom, have some of these Brussels sprouts.
Especially if I make them as good as you made them sound. Huh?
Yeah.
Believed to originate from the city in Europe that is their namesake, of course, Brussels, Belgium. Brussels sprouts records trace this vegetable back to sometime between the 12th and 13th century. But the name probably wasn't coined until the 18th century when the French began referring to them as Brussels sprouts.
Interesting. Well, because they look like mini cabbages. I wonder if that's why they're called sprouts.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it has to have something to do with it. It wasn't until the 19th century that Brussels sprouts came to be popular in Britain, but they have since made their way, of course, into the hearts of many Britons and many people here in the U.S. by the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious about, I kind of figured where that's where they came from. I was kind of curious of how long they've been used and been like a vegetable, a condiment, or not a condiment, but a...
Yeah, and they've become actually more popular recently. I had them two weekends ago when my boyfriend took me out to Wausau for my birthday, and we had lunch at a really nice restaurant, and I got the Brussels sprouts, and I told him they were so good, and he's like, yeah, we just deep fry them for 45 seconds, and they're amazing.
Ooh.
I was like, oh, okay, I was feeling really good about eating a vegetable, and now they've been doused in...
Well,
that's
how I felt about the cheesy broccoli. I was all proud of myself eating vegetables, and I go and I tell a bunch of people, they're like, yeah, but did you put how much cheese did you put on those things? It is National Hot Chocolate Day.
Woohoo!
God, I love hot chocolate.
Especially on a day like today.
Man, do I love hot chocolate. As chocolate beans and sugar both became more accessible in Europe, the cocoa solids were then used to make chocolate bars and chocolate candies. But a favorite continues to be the warm, sweet, milky beverage that is known as hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
By 1828, powdered chocolate was made it much easier to stir into milk. And then Nesquik was invented in 1948, the first chocolate milk powder made a quick and tasty addition to milk that could also be heated up into hot chocolate. We had they were serving hot chocolate at the River Kings game this weekend, and I did not realize what a great combination hot chocolate and watching a hockey game is.
Oh yeah,
that is a great combination.
Oh, I bet
that is a really good one.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's. I mean, certainly, obviously, this time of year is the perfect time for hot chocolate.
Have you ever had Mexican hot chocolate or spicy Aztec hot chocolate where they put chili pepper in there?
Yeah, when I was a kid, they used to sell it. They'd sell that. Like the same guy that has sold Italian ices in the summer, mm-hmm. he sold that in the winter.
That'd really warm you up.
Yeah, it's also, I don't know, for like an 8-year-old, it's the best thing to be drinking because, man, I was like zoned the whole day. I was booking. I was on another level. Take a break. We get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about your schedule and how you can maybe manage that a little bit differently.
Mm.
That coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Oh, jeez. Welcome back to Mornings at WFHR.
I like the intro to this song, and I hate the rest of it.
I am so 90,000% with you. Whoa! It's good.
I like
it's good
the
intro.
Beginning,
but as soon as he starts
singing,
yeah, I can't handle his voice. I am angering so many fans out there of Jon Bon Jovi, but I
like other Bon Jovi songs much better.
The man's got a lot more hit songs than I got, so give him credit where it's due. That's for sure. The band credit where it's due.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how kids of the 80s, 90s, I don't know. Bon Jovi was just so overdone, I felt. You couldn't turn on a radio. If you listened to the radio more than a half an hour, you were going to hear a Bon Jovi song, even if it was like a country station. Mm-hmm. Like, they were going to throw it in there somehow.
Well, every artist...
Wanted Dead or Alive would be on there or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, every artist after Elvis was trying to get that kind of fame.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if anybody ever quite managed it. No, they didn't.
Mm, no.
Not the fainting... You know, falling down.
The Beatles kind of like, you know,
yeah,
losing their
mania.
Minds kind of
no.
thing. I think right now, the closest we've seen to that, because even like looking back to when I was a kid, and I'm going to really date myself here, like Menudo, one of the earliest boy bands, New Kids on the Block, all these boy bands, NSYNC, all that stuff, as big as they were, they never had like people fainting and losing their minds and stuff like the Beatles did.
Right.
I think the closest we've seen is this, the K-pop sensation that has gone on for like 15, 20 years almost, or whatever
possible.
It's been.
Yeah, because K-pop is huge.
Huge.
Like, in other countries.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
I don't know that it's that huge here.
It's the difference. When you're talking about like somebody like Elvis there, I think that's one of the interesting things. You look at like somebody like that. Yes, he was huge here. It was the fact that he was big in Europe and other places that would made him kind of took him to a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly an Elvis guy or nothing like that, but again, credit where it's due.
Yeah,
one of the first American artists to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That it was very impressive. But he didn't make people faint like the Beatles did and stuff like that. Like that whole thing, that was just a different thing, different time. And it's so weird to think of anything like that happening again. We're going to get right into scheduling, and you probably have at least one meeting every week that's really not necessary. Yeah, but everyone keeps on scheduling it anyway. So here's a tip. Try to get it to be a Monday meeting. It will get canceled more often. Monday meetings are most likely to be canceled for people's long weekends and for holidays.
Hmm.
There are three more federal holidays on Mondays this year. We've got President's Day coming up, Memorial Day, and Labor Day.
Hmm.
In 2023, Juneteenth, Indigenous Peoples Day, Columbus Day, they have that slashed. Christmas Day are also on Mondays. And the 4th of July is on a Tuesday, so lots of people will be taking off Monday. So your worst meeting is on Monday, it's just begging to get canceled for at least a couple of weeks, you know, and you can knock out a couple of them there.
There you go.
I guess that's one way to do it. Now, I think most people listening to this are probably not the schedule makers.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of out of your hands.
Mm-hmm.
But you can schedule appointments and maybe not necessarily to have them canceled, but get them out of the way.
Right.
I like having Monday appointments. I don't mind my Monday being booked. I really don't, because that means my Tuesday's a little lighter, my Wednesday's a little lighter, my third, and I need that.
Well, because by the time you get to the end of the week, you're tired out. If you've got all your meetings or your appointments scheduled for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it makes for a long week.
Yeah. And everybody's different, too, though.
Yeah.
Some people... can't get anything done on a Monday. Just can't, you know. I know plenty of productive people that Mondays they're just don't even bother them. Tuesday, whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, vice versa too. I know a lot of people that don't even try to contact them on a Friday.
Right.
Don't even bother.
No. Nope.
You're just gonna get a return email. I'm out of the office. that's not coming back. So for I think to each their own, and work and figuring out how you what best works.
I
for
like
you.
It when I get that email. I'm like. No, I can see you. You're in your office.
Yes.
Yeah. Please respond.
That is always hilarious. Yeah. I've done it before, especially because we can do so much with our phones now. Where I've emailed somebody while I'm knocking on their door, like I email and then I knock on their door or whatever.
Like, yep, I know you're here. Can't get away.
I think she wasn't going to answer until like the ding went off or whatever or something like that. Yeah, you can find out more at lifehacker.com about this. I think that a lot more of our day would be better if we could schedule things a little differently. I don't think it mean that much. I mean the difference of having an afternoon appointment in the morning or vice versa. I think a lot of that stuff would just make things a little bit more flow a little bit better. Yeah, just a little more of that for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
When you can do it, of course,
right.
Obviously.
When you can. Scheduling is an awesome tool to making your life easier. Mm-hmm. I like having a schedule I can follow. I'm working on that myself.
I'm a planner, and it's suited me well. Mm-hmm. I don't think that many people wouldn't be better suited with at least a little bit of planning. Mm-hmm. I teach their own. I don't think you have to be in.
Structure is great. We kind of thrive on it.
Well, the science has proven this long. Like, I mean, we're talking like 1900s type science where, hey, our human beings like routine. Mm-hmm. They like structure. They mm-hmm. like these things. We learn this with children all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you let a kid, no homeschool, no school, none of the above, and that kid's going to be a wild person. whereas if they have even a little bit of structure, they not only learn better, but they have better social skills, better self-worth, a lot of these things.
Routine is helpful.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 7:50 on the clock. A reminder that we will kick off the 8 o'clock hour with CBS News, and then we'll be joined by live and direct by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Get a live update from them. Looking forward to that.
They can tell us why it's so cold.
Yeah. Explain yourselves.
We want to hear it, Paul.
Come on, Paul. This is an interesting one. It's hard to keep your house clean once you have kids. Even Maria Cotto recently said she has, quote, kind of given up on tidying since the birth of her third child. A new poll says 39% of people claim their current home is generally cleaner than the home they grew up in as a kid. It's unclear how many of them have kids, but younger adults ages 18 to 44 were far more likely to say that their current homes are cleaner. 30% of people say that their current home is about the same in cleanliness as their childhood home, and 24% admit that their home is messier. But maintaining order can make a difference. 40% of people say that their mood is greatly affected by the cleanliness of their home. And another 36% say it's somewhat affected.
Mm-hmm.
Only 5% say that their mood is not at all affected by the mess around them. And those people are lucky. Those people are very, I don't know.
It takes training, almost. To be able to do that.
I could be in an iron lung, and if my apartment, if my house, if my room, whatever, is a mess, I'm going to find a way to clean it. I'm going to figure it out, because it'll drive me crazy laying in that bed in that iron lung with all that going on, with all that mess and that chaos. It doesn't have to be, you know, perfect. It doesn't have to be spotless, eating off the floor, all those things. But it's the disorder...
A like, level of tidiness is necessary.
I don't think my bones would heal because of the mental strain it would cause on me. I'm just like that. I'm a weirdo like that. There's one part of this, because I did just another deep dive into this kind of study and everything. And if you're curious, you can find the same stuff if you'd like. Let me just make sure I get the website here right. It is today.ugov.com. Today.ugov.com.
Okay.
And in doing a little more digging, well, it turns out like a lot of this, because it sounds a little bit like we're keeping a cleaner house than our parents. I think that's kind of like a little bit of like an underline here, or a little like they're saying the house is cleaner now than when I was a kid.
Hmm.
So mm-hmm. this comparison, what they're not telling you is who made the mess when they were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were the ones making the mess.
Right.
You know, parents were usually trying to keep the house clean. The kids make a mess. And then they're looking back and like, wow, my parents kept a messy house. No, they didn't. You wouldn't listen.
Kids are messy.
Which is okay. I mean, kids are messy. I'm not saying the kids
shouldn't
be
messy. There's nothing wrong with
that. No.
But I can say that my house as a kid was cleaner than my house now, and I don't have kids. But the reason for that is that every week on Fridays, we didn't have school on Fridays when I was a kid because we went to a private school, and we spent every Friday cleaning our house. Each one of us kids had a detailed list of what we had to do. I always had to clean the bathroom, but we'd vacuum, we'd clean the bathroom, we'd clean the kitchen, dust, we'd clean our bedrooms, like every Friday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I
swear we had the cleanest house.
I was going to say, yeah, definitely the cleanest house around. Yeah.
I don't do that now.
No. Kind of, yeah.
I make my bed every morning. That's
a win.
I'd say, yeah, I say so.
That's a win. To me, that really actually is that's a win right there, because I don't know. There's plenty of times that you're taking a chance every time you make, and I do this too. Every time I make my bed, you make your bed. Anybody out there makes their bed as soon as they're done waking up. As you're making it, you're like, you don't want to do it. Nobody makes that. Even if you feel better once it's made, you're not like necessarily, oh, I can't wait to make my bed. Like, you're not excited about
no,
it.
No, I just do it so I don't crawl back in.
And you're just exactly, you're just taunting yourself and tempting yourself to, oh, it'd be so much easier to just get under the covers. It'd be a lot easier to just get under the covers than making this bed thing. What am I doing? What are we doing as a society? I'm just going to stay in bed.
Yeah.
I don't really need heat and food. I don't.
Nope.
This stuff's not that important.
There's a roof over my head right now.
Yeah, it'll work itself out.
If only.
Yeah, right. I did want to touch on this one, too. And I don't know how necessarily to do this story, because in the article, they're kind of making it jokingly. And I don't know that we can necessarily joke about this, but I do think that it is important in life to find the funny in the dark sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And to find the humor in things.
Yep.
An old video from 2021 is circulating on TikTok right now. It shows Amazon's Alexa predicting the start of World War III, and it's this year.
What?
A guy asks her when it starts, and she says exactly at 6:05 on November 23rd when Russia bombs Germany. November 23rd is Thanksgiving Day this year, which feels like World War III with a lot of families. But will we all really be hiding in a bunker? The answer is also almost definitely no. It turns out the original version of the video game from came from a guy who does this a lot with Alexa, using a feature called Skill Blueprints. That's where you can set up custom responses to specific questions.
So he programmed it.
Yes. He's also done videos where Alexa predicts The Rock will be elected president in 2028, or that Miami will be run over by hurricanes by 2025. Like, apparently, has a very dark sense of humor.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it gets him clicks on the internet.
Yeah, which is just sad that that's not only that people are clicking it, but that that's what he needs to get by. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know I'm way too serious, so I'll admit that full heart, but I don't see what's funny about this
about
necessarily.
About predicting destruction and disaster, that's not really funny.
Where's the how come Nostradamus and a lot of these predictors, where's the good stuff?
Yeah, can we predict good things to happen?
Good things happen all the time.
Yeah.
Why don't they predict any of that?
I mean, equally, bad things happen all the time, so why can't we have predictions of both? That would be nice.
We've we have gotten so close to getting rid of certain viruses that we never thought would happen.
Mm-hmm.
We lost so much during the pandemic. And at the same time, we're still here.
Yep.
Like, that's incredible. That's impressive what we just pulled off in the last 4 or 5 years, vaccine-wise and all these things and mm-hmm. stuff. Like, where's the prediction on that? You're going to suffer a pandemic, but you will also survive the pandemic. Like, where's the good predictions here and stuff? There's a lot of good things out there.
There are good positive things. We just have to look for them.
Where was the prediction about some of the recyclables? One of the articles that I got right in front of me here, and I want you guys to do the homework on this one. Zero waste recycling on Malachor turns crushed stone and ceramic into awesome new material.
Hey.
And it's this new material that they're talking about that not only does this green building material create zero additional waste products, but no additional emissions from transportation since it's created locally.
Awesome.
Like, this is an incredible thing. And it's something that they're predicting in the next couple of years, every community will be able to do something like this and turn these products into this, you know, great
zero waste building material.
Yeah.
Great.
The whole article is at goodnewsnetwork.org. Go ahead and check that out. But where was the prediction on that? there's a lot of good stuff out there.
There is a lot of good stuff out there.
I wanted to also let me just finish with this too, because according to Loop, a design initiative from the Balearic Islands Institute for Business Innovation, these tiny islands themselves nevertheless generate 2,550,000 tons of ceramic, stone, and concrete waste from concentration and demolition. The islands where they're doing this at. Now that they have done this, Malachorn Design Company has done this, they're already noticing that they're knocking off waste little by little. We're talking about like islands in Hawaii or places like that. And obviously, if it works there, it should work on land, you know, mm-hmm. or landlocked places and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but islands create a lot of waste that goes right into the ocean. Mm. So to be able to counter that with these products is what they're talking about in the article.
Okay.
And being able to, how is that going to work for us in like landlocked cities and states and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
cool.
Just interesting. And it's also interesting to see the reporting being done on this with island, pollution,
mm-hmm.
Which is something we don't see discussed a lot or
yeah.
anything. There's good stories out there. Good stuff, people.
Lots of good stuff.
Take a break. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun on mornings here at WFHR, locally grown radio.